Well, good morning. This is Miles Bennett. I'm a ministry associate at Ambassador, and it's a privilege to be able to bring God's word to you this morning. Even on an online format, it still is a privilege to look at God's word together. Let's begin in prayer. Father, as we look to your word, may your Holy Spirit take this teaching and cause it to stir in our minds and affections for you. May your name be proclaimed and glorified this morning. Amen. Well, there's a Christian conference held in the U.S. each year. I was able to attend a couple of years ago, and the conference really centers on prayer, specifically prayer for those persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. One of the conferences I attended, they were praying for the country of Iran. I don't know how familiar you are with the situation in Iran, but I wasn't too familiar at the time. The reality is that Christians there, those who follow Jesus, to follow Jesus means to sacrifice significantly. One woman shared her experience of becoming a Christian and just a few years back, which meant that her family and her friends disowned her. Her husband beat her. Eventually, she had to flee to another country altogether. The authorities were coming to take her. She had to start a new life in a different country. She sacrificed much for Jesus. This woman, though, understood that the certainty of radical faith. She had a faith that trusted so much in God's word, in his promises, that everything else, even her own life, she was willing to sacrifice to gain adoption from God. She was so certain of the hope of heaven that she was willing to count the cost. Well, in today's passage, we'll see Abraham exhibiting this same radical kind of faith, a faith that we too should aspire to. It's one of the most dramatic tests in the whole Bible, a faith that trusts that God will fulfill his promises. Last week in our Living by Faith series, Adam preached on the first part of Abraham, where we saw Abraham leave his hometown by faith. He went out and obeyed, not knowing where he was going. And we'll continue the series today by looking at the next section of Abraham's faith. So as we go through the passage together, I think the main thing I want us to see is that faith in God leads to radical sacrifice. We can be assured of his promises even when the cost is high and our understanding is low. So let's go in the passage together. You'll see there you were sent a sermon insert. You can go ahead and open that. You'll see 3 points. You can follow along with us there. So the first point, the testing of faith. We see this right away in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Of course, the story of Abraham and Isaac is found in Genesis 22, and it recounts perhaps the sternest test of faith Abraham received in his long life following the Lord. You'll see the text there in your bulletin, Genesis 22, verse 1. I'll read it for us. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Well, it's put pretty quickly and simply here, but I think we have to feel that these are terrible words for Abraham to hear. Abraham's son, whom he loved more than anything, was being asked of him. This would be terrible for any parent to hear, but Abraham had special circumstances that made it so difficult, such a difficult word from God. Not only was Isaac his son, but Isaac was the promise that God had given to Abraham. Abraham, of course, was the recipient of God's covenant with his people, that he would make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars. that Abraham and his wife would indeed have a son in their old age. Abraham, you know, goes through many trials, but by faith he obeys God every step of the way. And God promises a son, and sure enough, Isaac is born, their miracle child. But now we come to Genesis 22, and what does God say? God says, kill him. Kill him. I can't imagine the thoughts that must be running through Abraham's mind at that moment, after 30 years of God, you know, leading him, trusting in God for this promise. God says, kill him. To our amazement, though, look how he responds there in verse 3. Genesis 22, verse 3, Abraham got up the next morning and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants, his own son Isaac. When he got enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. It jumped down to verse 9 and 10. Verse 9, when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an ark there and arranged an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. He laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. But, verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. What a challenging test, and what amazing faith Abraham shows us. I think there's many things we could say about this event, this test from God, but I think it's important to start. I think first we need to, just for interpretation's sake, be clear on what God is not doing here. God was not tempting Abraham. God was not, you know, enticing him to see if he would do wrong, or being cruel and watching him go through these intense emotional pain. Rather, God was testing him to see if Abraham would do what was right, and thus grow his faith. God was not also condoning child sacrifice. You know, he did not desire the sacrifice as an act of worship, or any other reason beyond testing Abraham's faith. So then why would God give this command? Well, Scripture tells us that God disciplines those he loves. The point was for Abraham to demonstrate faith in his willingness to sacrifice that which he loved, to show that he trusted God completely, even with that he loved most. Of course, God already knew of his faith, but it was necessary for Abraham to realize it as well. I think a help here would be, you know, just think of a school teacher or a sports coach. They regularly test their students, and even though the students can sometimes feel aggravated or they just don't want to be tested, but actually, from a teacher's perspective, tests are really important ways in which students learn to apply knowledge in real life, with the hope that students' knowledge and skills will actually grow as a result of the test. I think in our text, you know, rather than Abraham's faith being shattered by this event, God strengthened his faith. He believed more in God's promises. This was God's purpose. I think a question for us then is, how do we respond when our trust in God is tested? Do you respond with reluctance, with fear, with complaining? Or do we respond with confidence and quick obedience, like we see here with Abraham? I think this is, of course, relevant for us in light of health concerns and the spread of the virus. You know, Adam pointed out last week, we shouldn't waste this virus situation. Instead, we should take this situation as an opportunity to grow in faith in God and his promises. Certainly, many of us are being tested in various ways through this situation, whether it's a fear of lack of control, whether it's experiencing difficulties at work or job loss. maybe it's parents who are having to adjust to different schedules, or their kids being at home all the time. It's a challenging time for many of us, so we need to know, what is God's purpose? Well, although we don't know all his purposes, what we can say is that God can use this circumstance as a test for us to grow. Friends, don't shrink back in light of this test and other tests that God sends our way, but lean into them. You know, let God love you as he shapes and molds your heart through various tests, as you trust him through difficult times. Well, this, of course, was not just an ordinary test. This was a test that required sacrifice. It brings us to point two, the sacrifice of faith. Look at the second half of verse 17. It says, "He who embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God said to him, 'It is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned.'" Basically saying, without Isaac, there is no offspring. Abraham would have no descendants. You know, verse 18 is a direct quote that we see in Genesis 21. This is where God tells Abraham that Isaac is in fact the key part to the promise of God. Author of Hebrews wants to remind us, you know, Abraham, he's wrestling with the fact that God's word seems to contradict itself. If there's no Isaac, there's no offspring. If there's no offspring, there's no promise. God's promises to Abraham would have failed. We cannot begin to imagine what Abraham must have grappled with, such a dilemma. He must have thought, God, what are you doing? After so long of waiting, after all the trials he'd been through, all it took for God to bring Isaac to him, what is happening? Here's what James has to say. In James chapter 2, he actually references this test of Abraham. You'll see it on your screen there. James chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, he talks about Abraham this way. "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." You know, our faith should work out itself in practice. James says that it's the proof that our faith is real. You see, sacrifice always pushes the issue of what we really value, what we really believe in. Many of you know that Elizabeth and I have become parents recently. And, you know, leading up to this, many people said, you know, get ready for extreme sacrifice. Kids are a lot to deal with. It takes a lot of sacrifice. And you all who told me that, certainly true. I've experienced that already. I think parents who sacrifice for their children, it really shows, it's evidence that we value them. You know, teachers in the same way who sacrifice for their students, time, money, energy. We value that which we sacrifice for. What sort of sacrifices then might we be asked of as Christians? Our faith in Christ might mean sacrificing our career for ministry or gospel purposes. It might mean sacrifices of family and enduring the scorn of our family and friends for doing the Christian thing, you know, too much or too seriously. It might mean sacrificing our time as we serve others, or our popularity as we risk telling people about Jesus. Money which we could spend on ourselves. You know, whether we serve God in the church, in our families, in our workplaces, following the Lord demands vulnerability. It demands love and prayer and thoughtfulness. Even when the cost is high, have faith that God is at work in all things for the good of those who love him. And we can know this because Jesus himself sacrificed everything out of love for us. If we really grasp that, we can sacrifice then of ourselves for love for him and his promises to us. I think an important question then becomes, well, how? How does Abraham, first of all, have such steadfast faith, and how do we have this kind of faith that endures sacrifice? Well, the last part of our verse gives the answer. Look with me at verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. This is point three, the reasoning of faith. You know, Abraham, what did he do? He reasoned. That is, he considered, he weighed the facts, he argued with himself. I hope you can see the simple yet profound logic that's displayed here. You know, the author of Hebrews wants us to see, he argued to himself, God's promises don't fail. I know that they will hold fast. They are true. So if that's the case, then there must be something else planned here that I can't see. Either he'll prevent me from carrying this out, or you know, even if I go through with this, God is well able to raise him from the dead. Sure enough, God provides. In a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death by providing a ram. In Genesis 22:14, you see that. Why was he able to respond in such a way? You know, what was this reasoning? Was it merely wishful thinking? Did he, you know, muster up his own willpower to, I will believe this no matter what? No. Well, Abraham had experienced and seen God's faithfulness time and time again throughout his life. He knew of God's power to carry out his promises against all kinds of odds. And so he reasoned to himself. He thought about it logically, that even if it means God has to raise Isaac from the dead, he will do it. Friends, we need to be gripped by this kind of reasoning in God's promises. When sacrifice is asked of us, when life is painful or out of control, even now in these circumstances, it's easy to doubt. How are we to be sure of God's words, of his promises, like Abraham was? Well, as Abraham looked back to God's faithfulness in the past, you know, the ways he'd brought him to a new land and delivered him a son, we as Christians look back to God's faithfulness in the wondrous cross of Christ, the place where God gave his one and only son as a sacrifice, just as Abraham gave his one and only son. But of course, this time, God did not send an angel to stop the knife. This time, God did not provide a substitute for the one and only Son. You know, instead, Jesus himself was that substitute. The substitute for us, for the wrath, for sin, that the judgment that we rightly deserved. This, Jesus substitute in our place is what our faith is built on. You know, Paul in Romans 8, he has this kind of faith in mind, this kind of reasoning logic, when he says in Romans 8 verse 32, you'll see it up on your screen. He says, since he, God, did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, therefore, you know, logically, certainly he will also with him graciously give us all things. What a wonderful verse. Pastor and author John Piper once called this verse a heavenly logic. Listen to what he says about this heavenly logic in Romans 8:32. Heavenly logic says, since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, therefore he will most certainly give us all things with him. Therefore, we are certain of his promises. Look at his promises. We can be certain that all things will work together for our good, that we will be conformed to the image of his son, that we will be glorified, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. If God did so much by giving up his own son, such a hard thing, surely his promises to do these things for us will come true. We can rely on them. Friends, whatever we face, whatever we're asked to sacrifice, because of Jesus' death in our place, we can be certain that God will be with us to the end of the age. Cling to him. Cling to him who says to you, I did not spare my own son. Therefore, my promise to you cannot fail. I will help you. Have faith in me. Well, if you're like me, we can look at Abraham and even the Iranian woman's faith and be discouraged by our own faith. I often feel this way. Be reminded, though, that it's through God's help that we can undergo such testing and sacrifice. What we need to do is to step out and let our faith take action. A question for you. Will you step out in faith this week as you follow the Lord? Will you make joyful and obedient sacrifices in light of what God's done for you? Whatever that looks like for you, watch God work and grow your faith as you put your faith into action. In a moment, we're going to sing the Getty hymn, Speak, O Lord. And the lyrics here, I think, would be a great prayer to pray for yourself or to pray for Ambassador in hopes that we'll grow in faith in God as well. The lyrics say, cause our faith to rise. Lord, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail. Lord, let their truth prevail over unbelief. God knows that we struggle with faith. By his grace, we can be absolutely sure that nothing will stop God from fulfilling his promises. You can bet your life on it. You can sacrifice your life for it. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your word this morning. We thank you for Abraham and his faith that we see so vividly through this test. God, we pray that you would help us have faith in you and your promises, even when we're asked to sacrifice of ourselves, even when the tests are difficult and the trials are large. When the cost is high, God, give us faith in Christ. Let us look to him. Let that logic flow through our minds as we cling to you this week. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.